somehow always somehow puts me in mind of my childhood when I was growing up and was looked forward to those few months after school was out and we'd sang the song of no more teachers, no more books. And you were able to do pretty much what you wanted to, or at least what you could get away with. As we grow to be adults, we sometimes lose the experience of being that free and having somebody else do the worrying and taking care of us and providing for us. We don't get to show up anymore for a meal and expect it to be there. We don't get to be reminded things like, yes, it is time to wash your neck again, which was my mother's favorite reminder during the summer. Somehow or other, we move into that area of responsibility and we more and more find ourselves responsible for taking care of our own selves, for looking after our own lives, and gradually also the lives of others. We take on responsibility, and so somehow we lose that sense, although we sometimes recall it and reflect on it. We try to recover it in summer vacations, but it's not the same because still somehow or other there are things we have to answer to, arrangements we have to make, people we have to look out for. We approach it with a different kind of spirit. We are no longer those free-spirited children just rejoicing in the freedom, but we are people who now have to worry about whether we are enough, whether we've done enough, whether things will work out okay. Have I thought of things? Have I planned well? Somehow or other, we take a different role and we become the caregiver, the responsible one to live in life. And yet there is that thing in the back of our head, that kind of longing that we hope maybe sometime, somehow, we can recover that somehow. If nothing else, at least we can hang on to the memory. And so we attach it to things like vacations. We attach it to things like retirement. And yet we know deep down that for the most part, we don't ever seem to quite recover that sense of relaxation. There's always a bit of anxiety, of desire for things to be better, of wanting somehow or other to be taken care of once again and set free from that responsibility. And yet we know that we have been promised. God has spoken to Jesus in that passage that we hear today, which is a wonderful and rather unexpected one, when he says, "Don't worry, little children. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, that doesn't fit in with the way we tend to think of the religious life. Generally speaking, whether we're conscious of it or not, we think of our religious life as an additional responsibility. We're to be good people. And we even confess when we come to church, we've done those things which we ought not to have done, and we've left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have a sense of falling short, of inadequacy in the face of God, of not quite making it, of not being enough. And so it's not easy for us when we approach God to have any sense of comfort. We make a big deal of the last judgment of Jesus coming again. And even the other end of this passage says something about because he's coming at an unexpected moment. And there's a little bit of that kind of feeling that, oh no, what do I need to clean up? Will I get caught? Are there things that I don't know even are not right? A sense of incompletion, of inadequacy, and even sometimes of failure in the face of God. And yet, Jesus has promised us. He says to us, in fact, it is your Father's good pleasure. God likes the idea. God is pleased to give us the kingdom. Now that comes as a bit of a shock, because if this is true, if indeed it is, and we know it is, then there is something that we are missing in our life in God if we don't understand that in God we become like those children that we recall, like our life that we remember from times past when we were growing up. That in fact, in God, we can still be children. That we still are not finally the last word. That we are still loved and cared for and provided for. And that God sees in us not simply where we have fallen short, not simply those who need help and blessing, but one for whom he cares and upholds and yearns to experience something better. In fact, to experience the fulfillment of that which he promises. It is the Father's good pleasure. And so we can look and listen to stories of faith like that of Abraham, and not wonder if the time of God's fulfillment of his promises is gone. The wonderful thing about that story is that it really describes the perfect situation in which human beings find themselves. We know God's promises intellectually, at least. We know that God, as we were brought up, was one who cared for us and provided for us and looked out for us and longed for the best for us. And yet, it seems a long time since we heard the words, since we saw the promise, or maybe even since we saw the fulfillment of that promise. Is God really going to be with me? Is God really going to help me? Is God really in that situation? Does God really care about me or those around me or my world? Is God really there after all? Abraham certainly had reason. He'd been promised children, and he was, as that passage says so wonderfully, he was as good as dead. That really shook me up a little bit. I somehow rather never noticed that phrase before. And now that I'm in sort of Abraham's league, it occurs to me that at least some others might think that that was good reason for God's promises not to be fulfilled. And that in fact, he was, dare I say, as good as dead. And yet, God didn't let him down. God did fulfill his promise, and we have only to look around at our world today to see the children of Abraham, to see those who were the fruit of God's promise. And we can see that God, in fact, not only fulfilled the promise of children, but he fulfilled the promise of a land. And that in those very promises, in the fulfillment of those very promises, is a further promise for us, who are not Abraham, who are not the people of Israel, but are in fact people who likewise long for a kingdom, who long for a place where things are right, where we are enough, where we're loved and fulfilled and understood, where our children have hope, where our lives have meaning, where our world is cared for, and where we don't have to worry anymore about how it's going to turn out, because it's in the hands of one who cares and who has the power, even the powers that we do not have. And so we live in promise. That passage from the epistle talks about faith being the confidence in things not seen. I like the old translation a little bit better. Faith is the substance of things not need. Somehow or other, as long as we are living in our intellectual understanding of being pretty sure that God is going to make it, of having been told that, as long as it's up there, it's one thing. But we move beyond confidence. Faith is the substance. And what that means is that faith is living on the basis of what we believe. It is not simply saying it's a comforting thought, it's a nice sentiment, but rather it is, this is the basis of my life. And how often we stray from that. We lose track of that because we forget that we have not just moved on from childhood where we were cared for, but that we live in a world and environment which is God's. And we live in a church, in a faith, in constant experience of Jesus, who demonstrated God's willingness to put himself on the rack for us, to take the step of involvement in our lives. And so we know the fulfillment of faith. We see the substance already, and we're invited to put that substance to work in our lives. I like the way that Jesus moves almost immediately in that passage from, don't worry, God will take care of you. He wants it to work out, to, okay, go and sell everything you have. It's nice to believe that God's going to take care of you, but that's another step entirely, putting our lives at the disposal of God, our resources, what we have, our intellect, that is something else entirely. But that is what faith is all about. We see and we rehearse the stories where God has already done that, where God has lived up to God's promises. But we're invited also to experience that substance in our own lives, to see that that is not simply a good sentiment, not simply a comforting thought, but is in fact the fact of God's reality, and that His reality is our reality if we will let it be so. So we can move forward. We can not worry about the unexpected appearance, because we know that unexpected appearance is more likely to be that one of rescue than judgment. It is more likely to be that one of welcoming arms as opposed to the shaking finger. It is one in which we no longer have to worry about those kinds of things when we were children, where we would hear, wait till your father gets here. But rather that we can say, I can't wait till the Father gets here. For as Jesus says, it is the Father's good pleasure we should inherit the kingdom. Amen.